All right, good evening, everyone. Let us begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Someday. Okay. So we have roll call.
Good evening, commissioners. I'll take the roll call. Chair Hartwig?
Present.
Vice Chair Hurd?
Present.
Commissioner Pitts?
Present.
Commissioner Main? Excused. Commissioner Montgomery?
Present.
Commissioner Castillo?
Present.
Commissioner Negrage?
Present.
Thank you.
Approval of the minutes. Do we have a motion?
I'll motion.
Second.
To approve the minutes.
Moved, second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Sustained? Nope. Okay. Hearing none. Moving on to old or unfinished business.
There are none, Chair.
We have none. Good. Are there any modifications to the agenda? Hearing none, we are on to new business, to item A.
Item A is a consideration of a resolution authorizing the executive director to extend Section 8 project-based voucher awards made to Bridge Housing Corporation for MacArthur Village and 460 Grand Avenue and related companies of California for the 94th and International Project.
And through the chair, I'm going to recuse myself because I work for Bridge Housing.
All right.
Indeed. Thank you.
So, Commissioner, this is a fairly routine item in extending the housing choice vouchers into project-based vouchers for these three developments. The only thing that brings it up to sort of consideration from staff's point of view is just the ongoing sequestration efforts that we've done. But delay is definitely in our interest because the longer they take to use the vouchers, the closer we'll be to being the right size of the Section 8 program. The other thing I just wanted to point out is that we have included this in the fiscal year 2014 budget request that you reviewed in May. So these are all included in that. It's not expanding the universe at all, and staff would recommend extension.
Questions? Comments?
I'll move the item.
I'll second the item. It's been moved. It's been seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Those opposed? Carries unanimously.
Thank you, Commissioners. I want to thank also Robert Stevenson from Bridge, Joe McCarthy, and Lydia Tam, and also representative from Maxwell Gospel for attending tonight.
Thank you for coming.
The record reflect that Commissioner Negrage has rejoined the meeting.
We're on item B.
Okay.
Yeah.
Item B, consideration of a resolution authorizing the executive director to execute a fee agreement with Oakland Housing Authority Initiatives, OHI, that will provide the Housing Authority administrative fee of $243,200 for Harrison Street Senior, the property next door, to compensate the Housing Authority for the staffing and administrative support provided to the development on that project. This is a very good thing because it's setting future precedents of sharing and having income coming to the Housing Authority from our affiliated nonprofits. There is a precedence for it. Phil's here if you'd have any questions. This fee split is really to compensate us for the work we did on behalf of OHI next door. We do have another agreement that's going to come forward in the future with KHI related to Keller Housing. Their participation in the developer fees will not be a 50-50 split. We are holding the majority of those funds, and we will come through with some other more reasonable figure that they will be, I would anticipate. Phil and I have thrown a couple numbers about, but we need to get farther down the road to make a recommendation. Is there any other coming forward, Phil? Are these? Yeah. these are those two. But for this one, the 50-50 does cover our costs and makes us more whole than we've ever been made, I think, in the past. And that concludes my report.
Commissioner Nagara.
I just had a question. So you might have just answered it by saying what the... I was wondering when I read this, is there what kind of bucket, what kind of line item bucket, and what restrictions or no restrictions we have in using this fee in the future?
Well, this comes back to us. These are non-federal funds. They're earned developer fees. There will be some costs that we're going to book in Phil's shop against some of these, and we'll have to do the reconciliation. He may get an idea what it is. We keep these funds, though. Any developer fees we have received on OHA's behalf from any of our deals have always been in a segregated non-federal account. So we generally make sure and double checks every time, and I ask every time and make everyone crazy just to make sure we're keeping that division, because it's extremely important not to blend the funds, which I think is the point of your question, that we can lose the federal, we can lose the non-federal status if we blend the funds. Phil?
I don't know if there's much that need be added to Eric's introduction, but we worked pretty hard with Janet's department, Janet's finance team, and Jonathan Young, who's here tonight in the audience too, to find a fair split between us and these nonprofits that are our affiliates. The first one we did was on Lakeside, which you approved earlier in the year. And then, of course, OHI is already, the affiliate has already approved this one. They've already agreed that they should give us a fair split for the work we've done and the effort we put in. And Janet's team has also brought in a consultant to help going forward on how we can track the time and expense we put into these projects, so we won't have to wait till the project's done to make the deal. We'll make it in advance, and we'll build the invoices as it probably should have been done on these.
And what Phil's referencing, we have a third party that Tracy's brought in. Steve, our chief financial officer, has brought in a third party to do a cost allocation plan to make sure that all of the indirect costs of the Housing Authority are really being billed correctly toward these different activities. So in the future, with OHI and KHI, we're going to be able to tell them, this is what it costs us to service the nonprofit and the development. This is our overhead. So this is what it costs. And later in the meeting on the comments, the chair may want to talk about a retreat that was held with OHI where we discussed some of this with them. They don't have to use our services. We are expensive because we provide good benefits and a wonderful working environment. And if they want to go elsewhere, they're entitled to. And I have no objection one way or the other. I do know that working with us and our staff brings a level of expertise and knowledge that they don't have elsewhere and would be hard to buy. But it's really up to that board as far as I'm concerned. What I want to do is be able to say, as OHA, this is our full cost, fully burdened. And the only way to get there, and it's the first time I've ever had a third party do it, and as Tracy and Janet know, I'm kind of really excited to see what they come up with, because we've always, in my career, we've always grappled with this in-house. How are we going to allocate all the costs? And they're going to come back and make recommendations to us. Is that it, Phil? And that concludes our report. We're here for any questions.
Was an easy night. Move to approve.
Second.
Say a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously. On to item C, consent agenda.
Move it. I'll second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Those opposed? Abstentions? Carries unanimously.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Wow. Models of efficiency here tonight.
What sequestration does to us.
We have been sequestered, yes. All right. So now we're going to item D, recognition of people wishing to address the commission. I have no speaker cards.
No speaker cards.
And there are no speaker cards. So, poof, zam, we are at written communications.
I regret not having just pages of things to read off to you tonight. we have the monthly report for your review. As always, we're here for any questions on that. I just want to go through a couple of short. You can really tell it's summer, can't you? Because everything really just slows down. And you can also tell you, and I'm going to be honest about why the agenda gets shorter, is we have been under sequestration. So we are not moving the number of things forward. And that's... That leaves us lots of time to do things like policies and good work, but not a lot to do the most exciting construction jobs in town, regrettably. But I would remind everyone, we do have, you know, four things starting this year. That's all-time high for us, and a lot of vouchers committed and 750 people being housed. I wanted to include in the written materials just our copy of the Move to Work plan. We have been approved, and I'm grateful for that. We are currently in the early stages of getting the draft report done. As you know, Anna Gwen Simpson left us to go to the city of Martinez and run the Community Development Department, which I'm happy for her and sad for me and everybody else. But she's left us in very good shape. So I'm going to finish up the report and tell staff, fires me and brings in and offers staff to help me. And then I'll finish it up. It'll come in September. Last year, we did one draft in August and the financials in September. But given that it's not a huge change from last year, we're probably going to just do it in September. Unless we have time in August, then I'll bring it forward in August to talk about. The high group has just written a commendation to us for reducing some of our risk management. Even the item you saw today, we're substantially lowering our risk and insurance liabilities and outpays as a result of some of the training and efforts. Artesia Dupree went to them training, and this is recognizing her and Flo for their conscientious effort at lowering our costs of our insurance premiums throughout the agency and virtually every one of our insurance policies. The last one is just the update at the end of the year. We give you the update on staff travel, commissioner travel. This is the add up for this year. It's almost identical to what it was last year. And I'm just encouraging, as you go forward through this fiscal year, realizing we're in sequestration, to be really cautious about your travel dollars, to make sure we can reflect the purpose that we are here for, make sure we don't send the wrong message to our residents and elected officials that we have lots of resources when we have had to freeze vouchers and we're not issuing vouchers for homeless and people in need. So I just want to point that out again. The conferences are in the back. Just select them cautiously and choose the ones that can really best benefit the agency and yourself as a commissioner. And that concludes my report. I'm here for questions. Commissioner Castillo.
In that respect, Director, I wanted to make sure that the two that I would like to go to, whether there's another commissioner who would like to swap with me to go instead, I wanted to offer that opportunity.
And maybe Inez, if you wanted to do that, can help do that through email after the meeting. But I appreciate what you're doing. It's anything you can do. But it isn't that we don't want you to travel and don't want you to become informed. It isn't that at all. It's that I want to make sure we send the right message of what this agency stands for. Staff travel this year was, even though we thought we traveled a lot, I mean, my travel was about 6,500 and Patricia was about 6,500. But overall, staff travel was about 28,000. So. We didn't really try and pull back, but we're going to do it this year as well because that could house a couple of families.
A couple more things.
Sure.
On page 3, I just wanted to commend us for moving, and I'm sure you guys do this every month, but the food pantries that we're doing for our families, it's so critical right now because of the cuts that they are seeing in their food stamps and in their CalWORKs, et cetera. And so I'm just really grateful that we're doing food pantries in our sites. The other thing is I was wondering, maybe not at this meeting, but next meeting, if we could get some information on how the Lions Creek application process went, perhaps like we usually do, get some statistics on when we open one of our major lists.
Yes, we can do that through asset management. They'll put it in the report.
I'd appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you very much.
The last thing on what you pointed out about our food pantries, where there was I think it's 567 or so without looking.
Yeah.
I took that, and this is how we can be effective without it necessarily going for individual meetings, and I mailed it to Congresswoman Lee and her staff, and they got back to me in minutes how grateful they were to have, you know, what we're doing to try and augment the underfunding of the SNAP program. And I did that right after she had fought, and then they separated out the farm bill from the SNAP so she could use that on the floor. And that's one of the values of the report for me, is when I get it, I can easily just kind of pull up and email right back the questions when I get them from anyone who's working on certain issues.
Thank you very much. Lastly, I'm just, I don't know how in this environment that we were able to get an additional 60 VASH vouchers, but that's a good thing, isn't
it? It's a good thing.
It's not always bad.
It's the one program that has not frozen. But remember, we also issued 328 non-eligible VASH people. In other words, they don't meet the McKinney-Vento Act's definition of homeless or chronically homeless. And so I think that Michelle's actually screening to see if anyone of them do, so we can refer them to VASH for services and use those vouchers. But we pulled those folks off our wait list before we froze it to try and make sure that we served our folks who'd served the country. And I think that's really an important thing, and it would have been easier not to do it financially, but I think it's the right thing to do. The VASH program is really a successful program in many ways and really helping reduce. And we got 60 more vouchers, and that's terrific. I had an announcement written, and you know I didn't read them, but one of them was that we are doing an in-service next week.
Yes.
with Michelle, because they had a larger one in Los Angeles, and so we talked, and we really didn't have resources to send folks to. So we didn't. So the bash is, it's going to be held here, and it's on August 5th. A couple other highlights is National Night Out, August 6th. If you want to volunteer, Peralta at 8th, swing by anytime, like 5 to 7-ish, right? Yeah. I'd mentioned staff travel. August 16th is back to school block party for Cole Elementary across from Union, if you want to stop by in the afternoon. And on the 23rd is Lockwood in our East District office back to school event. That's it.
Commissioner Montgomery.
Yeah, no, I just want to, because she said.
Page 3, homeownership. And this program will terminate this September. Is that the closing of the homeownership program?
No. Which page are you on?
This is on page 3, homeownership, 39 homeownership participants are searching for homes, and 8 of them are participants in the city of Oakland. This program will terminate this September, so participants may use that funds to start a small business or use their savings toward education.
I think that it may be talking about the City of Oakland Individual Saving Account Program.
Okay.
But let me confirm that.
Okay.
And our homeownership is not.
Okay.
Okay, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
On page 11, I was just looking at the occupancy rates, noticing in particular the AMPS where the occupancy rates are lower than 70% and also lower than 80%. Now is that all due to rehab work?
It's a good chunk of it, but not all of it. We've had a huge lease up, and so we don't. And maybe Mark can update us on the numbers for the OP project based Section 8 sites, which are the ones that we've had the huge lease up. But a good chunk of them are offline, waiting for rehab.
So do we have as many as 20 or 30% of the units in some of these AMPs currently under rehab?
Yeah, we have roughly, I think, closer to 200 to 300 waiting rehab or under rehab.
200.
Yeah. Yeah.
That are. There's a column that says unit in rehab,
mm-hmm.
and the one that says vacant and available.
Yeah. Yeah. So the vacant and available, the last 158, the lease up on those, we get. I don't know if anyone wants to provide the current update because this is a month old. So I think we're very close to being completely. That's why I wanted them to come up.
Well, like for example, if you look at AMP 11, you've got 30 units in rehab out of 251 available. So that's about 15%. And I just, you know, I was just trying
and
to
the
get
number,
a,
yeah,
a
no,
sense
the number. Yeah, I know the number, but the number on the OP profile, the number that we want to have leased, the vacant and available, meaning the units are ready mm-hmm. to be leased. The other ones are all in different stages of rehab. So it's the vacant and
yeah,
available
okay.
number
okay.
that you really want to
cool.
lease. So you have,
good.
In like 9, you have 33, but in 14, you only have 6 left. So that's what we're getting at.
Okay.
Oh, let the record reflect, Commissioner Main has joined the meeting. All right. Do you have any update you want to provide?
No, that actually, you nailed it. We were down to 147 ready and available as of Friday, and that included roughly about 27 that had been reserved from new applicants that have accepted units. Now, that number fluctuates with the number of the ones that are currently in rehab. That number, we don't have an update from the 200 as of June. So 200 in rehab as of June.
Okay. And then, so in terms of the actual vacancy rates, I mean, are some of these AMPs just harder to lease up or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm sure the chair, as well as some of our other commissioners, will know that we actually use leasing incentives for certain sites that are in areas of interest to the police department, as well as areas that are disenfranchised in terms of availability to the transit system, which hinders people getting to work and school.
And then I had one other question, which was regarding work orders. So I was just looking at the sites that had high levels of work orders relative to the total numbers of units. That's on the
bottom of
page
13.
13.
Yeah, 13, the work
page
order report.
13. So, I mean, I just caught my eye.
Well, some of it, work orders are hard to read.
Right, that's what I'm trying to understand.
So, for example, Campbell Village, which is a John Stewart managed company, has 202.
Yeah, exactly.
And what you can tell is only 37 of those are tenant initiated that they close. So what they've done is probably in React's coming or hasn't come, but will this month, I'm not sure, but I think they get inspected. So they've done their own internal inspections of the units and generated work orders is what's happened.
But I'm just wondering how do we interpret that? I mean, does that mean that a lot is going wrong at the site, or does it just happen on a cyclical basis?
No, if you look at remaining open work orders, there's reasons that, for example, Lockwood had React come through.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they generated their own, when you say open within, in a huge amount. But if you look at the second one down, you'll see there's 45. Most of them, again, are Lion Creek Crossing. Again, they had React, so those are staff, I'm sure, generating all those.
I see.
The work orders we had, and I think they used to range, the open work orders were over 1,000.
Above 1,000 at one point.
Mm-hmm. So we've come down to the remaining, 479 for the OP amps. And then the other one's skewed because of React, the inspections.
Well,
the 832 are work orders that were probably created for React, by and large.
And what's been going on at Lions Creek? Because that one kind of stood out because 157.
They had React.
Yeah, I see.
They just had their React inspection.
I see.
What you do if you're
at a high level of tenant, does that go into a tenant?
Possibly, because what you do is you notice the tenant and say, we have an inspection, please notify us of any work. So you're soliciting work orders ahead of the inspection. And then the inspectors go, then the staff goes and generates their own when they do tenant unit inspections so that we can get a total number and to correct them before the inspection occurs.
Cool.
Yeah, and what were the sites that got inspected this year? We only had Lockwood in-house.
Lockwood so far.
But then the contract management sites had several other, I think Chestnut, Lincoln, and
Campbell. And Campbell will also be inspected.
Campbell and then Lion Creek Crossing. So they scored in 80, so they get inspected every 2 years. The 90s every 3 years.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So we are now, I just lost my.
I did, by the way, get a note that the home ownership that's ending is the City of Oakland match. Yeah, the IDA is what's ending.
I just lost my agenda. Call the monitor? Oh, excellent, yes. Okay, reports of commission committees. Okay, do we have any reports from commission committees?
No, it hasn't met yet.
Okay. Hearing none, then, announcements by commissioners. Very good. Okay, announcements by commissioners. Okay, so do we have any announcements by commissioners?
Yeah, I have a lot of them.
Okay, Commissioner Montgomery.
Yeah, I did attend the ethics training here. I think that was June 28th, along with Commissioner Hurd, and it was an all-day training, but it was very informative and very good, and I just hope that all, I'm sure most of the commissioners that have been here longer than I have attended it. But it just happened that my certificate was made out to Jenny.
Oh.
So then I have mine, so thank you for my certificate. And I think it's very worthwhile that we attend these trainings because they play a big role in our role as commissioners. And I learned a lot the importance of being a commissioner and what role we play. So thank you for offering those trainings. And whenever you do, just keep me informed and I will try to attend the next one. But thank you for this lovely framed certificate. Thank you.
And Commissioner Hurd, you had some announcements, right?
Yeah, I actually did. Jessica.
Hmm?
Hey, Jessica.
I can't hear you.
I didn't get Jessica.
I think we're past that item.
So, announcements. I want to thank the authority for allowing me to go to Denver. Learned a lot there. One thing that really moved me is talking to Doug Guthrie from Los Angeles Housing Authority. They are really hurting down there. Doug indicated that they lost 65 positions last year. And they've used all their reserves. They're at zero right now. And so it kind of just gives you an eye-opening to what sequestration is doing to our authorities. And Doug is a really good example of that. One of the tours that I took helped me see how we could do a lot with our youth. And I ended up touring one of the facilities where they have a cafe. Right on the premises, and youth run it, and I thought, wow, is that something we've ever done here? Nothing, we haven't. Okay, yes, so I was really impressed, and it's run by all the youth, so that's what really impressed me about it. So let me just make my announcements. I really wanted to thank Ms. Ashan for helping one of the veterans who was homeless, Mr. Martin, Ms. Bashani, remember that? He is now housed. Thank you so much. He's been homeless for 19 years. And now he has a house. Thank you, Ms. Hassan. So getting those extra vouchers, we have no idea how important they are, especially when someone gets a house by a VA referral. So thank you for that. Couple more, because I did go to Denver. I brought back all of these for the commissioners. I want to thank Ms. Wells and Ms. McVeigh. We received 4 awards, and I'm so proud to receive them at the NARL conference to acknowledge the work they were doing at a national level. So thank you, Ms. Wells. Yeah, we picked them up.
Thank you.
Didn't they come back already?
They are in the cabinet. I put them in the cabinet this afternoon and took the old ones, which will go back to the originating department because we like them to keep them there. Yes.
Okay, 3 more announcements. Bear with me. One of the committees that I attended was the Resident Issues Committee, and we learned about the voter ID law passed by the Supreme Court. I was shocked to hear that. And now that's something we need to start educating our residents about. Think so? We can do that?
It depends how it impacts California, because states are different.
Okay.
So the law was about specific registration in specific states, but it's all done, it's different state by state, and California is not requiring that.
Okay. And then the ongoing advocacy with the sequestration. And us needing to write more letters to our congressmen and our Senate and our representatives up in Congress. So the fight continues. And we need to stay the course and keep our voice at the table. My last comment, Lee Pimperman. This was a keynote speaker for the opening plenary, and he spoke, oh my God, he spoke so powerful. He was a foster care child, and now he's a child advocate. And his message is one of hope, where someone who has gone through those kind of challenges rise and become an advocate for children. And Steve is a model example of that. And he had one quote that stuck with me. And I want to say that to all of you. We're here today doing housing work for many people in our communities. And Steve said, if not you, then who? If not you, all of you out there, then who would be doing that work? And so our work is vitally important to our communities, to our mayor, to our city council, and to the nation and the county. So if not you, who? Right? Who? And I thank you for the work you're doing for the Oakland Housing Authority. Thank you.
Thank you, Marlene.
Oh, I forgot one thing. I forgot one thing. And at the last closing in the plenary, we saw a documentary called Innocente.
Remember that?
Innocente. It's a documentary of a homeless child who expressed herself through art. Oh, my God. It was so touching and moving. I'm hoping that we can show that to our residents. It's called Innocente. Okay? That's the end of my announcements. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Main.
I just want to announce and register an I vote for A, B, and C.
Thank you. All right, good. Okay, so we did indeed form a marijuana policy committee. Huh? Yeah, we did. I actually sent you an email on that, and that is that committee is being chaired by Commissioner Montgomery. How is this all a surprise?
It was a month ago.
Okay, now, I guess it was a while ago. There's been a lapse of time. And the other two members of the committee are Commissioner Hurd and myself. So that is our committee.
Great. Thank you, Chair.
Other exciting news is Eric and I did go to a board meeting for the OHI, Oakland Housing Initiatives, and KHI, Keller Housing. This was a strategy session for these organizations to for the board to really figure out what direction they wanted the organizations to go in. And one of the things that we talked about in the meeting was that we'd like to do some educational work for the rest of the commission so that everybody really kind of understands what we have here and what the assets are of these two organizations and the kinds of things that they might be good for. How might we want to use them? Because one example would be that as some of these developments age on that we have and we are in a position to take them back, who would be in the best position to manage these buildings? Would we want them to be with this kind of a setup, or we would want them to be with an instrumentality? See, because there are advantages and disadvantages to both. So it was a very fruitful meeting, and I came away from it feeling really good about the quality of the board of these two organizations. You know, these are all people, a lot of them have been on the commission here. They have a lot of experience in real estate. But what's really wonderful is they all really care about OHA. They really care about OHA, and that's why they're on these boards. It's not really doing much for them other than the fact that they really feel like they are providing a service. And so I just want the takeaway here to be that we have some really good friends out there that are doing some good stuff for us and have our best interests at heart, and hopefully we can schedule some kind of a educational seminar so that you know, we can kind of bring everybody up to speed in terms of you know, what these organizations might be able to help us with. And that's it. Oh, yes, Commissioner Castillo.
I don't know if this would constitute an announcement, but it's one of the things that you brought up loosely to me was whether our community of OHA residents, if there's any need for any LGBT resources or services to be on site or off site, and whether we're taking care of our youth who might or may not need some support. And so I know that's nothing that has ever been mentioned here, but I'd like to maybe put it on someone's mind in case any of our sites need that. I'm not sure.
Thank you. If there are no more announcements, this is unbelievable. Is this a record? Well, it's the sterling leadership we have around here, undoubtedly, that is producing this incredible efficiency. So do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved. And so we are adjourned.
Thank
you all.